The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
We are in the glorious surroundings of County Laois this morning as part of the News Talk summer tour. We're in the Ballykilcavan Brewery this morning with thanks to ESB, Ireland's largest charging EV charging network. We have a live audience. You're all very welcome, everyone. Let's hear you. We have some great people for you to meet over the next couple of hours, including a rugby hero from Laois, farmers who'll tell us why Laois is at the heart of Ireland's farming life, and we're going to find out why poaching is having a revival. We'd love to hear from you. WhatsApp us this morning, 087 1400 106, or email clarebyrne@newstalk.com. Now, we have the Farming for Nature Festival, which is taking place right here, right now, on Ballykilcavan Farm today. But this, of course, is not the only festival that takes place here, because we have Forest Fest, the National Steam Rally, the Laois Walks Festival, many more besides, including, of course, Electric Picnic. So what makes Laois a hotbed for all of these festivals? I'm joined by Tom Cosby, who's the owner of Strad Bally Hall, and Hannah Clark is events manager with Ballintubbert Gardens and House, and they both join me. You're both so welcome. Thank you for being with us. Tom, what's your take on that? Why Laois has become over the last few years somewhere where people are looking at now as a festival venue more than ever before?
The ploughing champion. Well, I suppose you start with the steam rally that's been around for the last 62 years.
My favourite.
Yeah. Which, I mean, bizarrely, you're sort of seeing, you know, people bring their grandchildren to a festival that they brought, you know, themselves, they were brought to by their own grandparents. And I suppose then you moved on to the National Ploughing Championship was in Ballacolla back in 1996.
That's right.
And then I suppose the Electric Picnic, when that sort of moved to us in 2002, or was created with us in 2002, it sort of kind of set the tone at that point. Look, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, Laois has got a lot of things going for it. I mean, you're far enough outside Dublin to be, you know, away, and
but the access is great.
The access is fantastic. So you only really on a good day an hour outside, you know, outside Dublin, outside the M50. Now on festival day, it's going to be slightly different. But yeah, I mean, there's a number of locations which are all absolutely sort of lend themselves to that.
Tell me about your place, about Stradbally Hall. Tell me a bit about the background to it.
Background, oh God, you don't want a history lesson.
Oh, come on. Give us the abbreviated version, Tom. Abbreviated, come on. How long are you in charge there?
Personally?
Yeah.
When was I? 1996, I was home, age 22.
Wow.
Bizarrely, my father went religious and decided to... he sort of fell out with his local church and decided then he was going to build himself a Russian Orthodox church.
So off he went.
Off he went and built himself a little Russian Orthodox church.
So were you asked at that point, Tom, are you ready, willing and able, or did you have no choice?
I wouldn't say it was no choice. I wasn't particularly intellectual. I wasn't going to do anything else. So anyhow, I was sort of returned home anyhow.
Where were you when you were 22? Where were you returning from?
I know very much. I went to agricultural college and travelled to about a few months, and then that was it, home.
And back.
And back, yeah.
And did you realise what the scale of the undertaking at that point?
No, you see, when you're 22, you'll do anything. You know, it doesn't matter what's in front of you. You know, when you get a bit of sense, sort of age 50, you know, you'd probably sort of run a mile. But no, it's the right time, you know, when they're young and idiotic, get them.
But what was the scale of it? What was this, you know, what was the size of the estate you were taking on at that time?
It was 500 acres.
So, incredible.
Yeah, it was not, like, I mean, it was only 300 a pasture. The rest of it's got a woodland and various other sort of kind of bits of waste ground. And so, you know, as a farm, it's, you know, it's a reasonable sized farm, but it's not something that's going to support a sort of a house and, you know, kind of yards and everything else of that, you know, that scale.
And did you change what you were doing there in terms of finding a way to increase the economic output and make sense of it all?
Yeah, well, I knew, you know, agriculture was never going to cut the mustard. And I was looking around to, you know, to find something that was going to kind of be a bit of a cash cow. And originally I was trying to get something like Slane, where it's kind of, you know, a big one-act gig in, out, and none of the promoters the blindest bit of interest in. And any letters I was writing to them, whatever, just put in the bin. And then it was just a kind of a fortuitous meeting where I sort of my details on a film website, and that lady happened to be talking to John Reynolds, his PA, at a launch or something, and he came down and, you know, looked at the place. He wanted to do a rave that time for kind of 15,000 sort of naked 15-year-olds. And anyhow, that fortunately didn't happen. That happened up at the Point. But he knew at that point he wanted to do something. And anyhow, it came down, and then nothing happened. That was 2002. Nothing happened for 2 years. And then just suddenly in June, well, May or June. He said, are you still available? And I'm like, absolutely. And
that was the start of it.
And gone from there, yeah.
And it's such a success, isn't it? I mean,
it has. I mean, it was all very traumatic in the earlier years. It was all utter chaos. And everyone was learning, it was growing and everything else. And then, you know, did basically go into liquidation a few years later as well. And then, you know, so it took kind of 10 years to settle.
Mm-hmm. But it's there now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on the landscape.
Oh, it's very much on the cultural landscape now, yeah. Mm.
So, Hannah, you are relatively new to Laois. Is that right? Tell us a bit about that, how that happened.
That's right. So, as a relative newcomer, I have been just blown away with County Laois. It's not somewhere I knew a hell of a lot about before I started working at Ballintubert Gardens in house. And so now I split my time between there and Dundalk, and I absolutely love it. Like, the sense of serenity that comes over, like, once you get through that M50, you're only an hour from Dublin, and it's like you're in a different world.
Tell me a bit about Ballintubert, because I have to admit, I didn't know about it myself. So tell me more about the estate and what it does there.
Yeah, so we're an estate that was actually Ireland's first officially certified organic ornamental gardens. That was back in August 2022. And since then, we've gone from strength to strength. We host all types of events, weddings, of course. It's a super romantic setting. We also try to come up with creative style events. We host, of course, in typical Laois fashion, we host many styles of festivals. The Festival of Gardens and Nature, we just finished there. It's in the May Bank holiday weekend, a beautiful festival about gardening. We have the Climate Carnival upcoming. And recently, we've aired more into the side of bringing corporations, businesses down, because what the message we try to convey at Ballintubert is to get in touch with your surroundings, get in touch with nature, and that's how your creativity can kind of flow. Once you connect and ground, you'll be able to access your creativity.
So it's a hidden gem that people are starting to discover now.
It absolutely is. And Ballintubert, translated from Irish, actually means town of the wells. And it... years and years ago, centuries ago, it was thought the water in these wells was thought to have restorative properties. So people would have travelled long distances from all over to come to Ballintubert to access these healing properties. So I'd say there's a case to be made for people have been travelling to Laois to access that kind of magic for centuries.
So you're hoping then, as events manager at Ballintubert, to grow what you're doing there and to expand. What would be the dream for you for the venue?
The dream for us, for me, okay, I think the dream would be for people to feel the way that I feel when I'm coming to work. It's very rare to feel a sense of calm overcome you when you're going to your place of work. And if anyone we invite into our venue can access that and feel that, I think it will really be changing to them, to their teams, to their marriage, whatever maybe they're there to celebrate. That's what I'd like to happen.
Yeah, and Tom, I mean, From Electric Picnic has grown a lot of additional festivals because people have recognised Laois as being a venue that is well connected to Dublin and to places further south as well. Do you think that there is room to do more in Laois in that regard?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There'll be more pop-up festivals coming along as well, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. There's no reason at all not to.
We have the Leinster Flower, which we're going to talk about in just a minute because we have some wonderful musicians, the Laois Walks Festival, the lovely Laois Homecoming Festival, the National Steam Rally, the one that we all love, the Old Fort Quarter Festival, and Farming for Nature, which is happening here today. So it does seem to be cemented now in Laois that this is a place that you can come to easily and have a great time, which is good. You know, it's a great development. Do you think that it is reasonable to say that the Electric Picnic had a hand in that reputation growing?
Oh, it did, absolutely, yeah. There's various other things that sort of grown out of it as well. I mean, we've got the Scouting Jamboree next year where 5,000 of them come for 10 days.
Are they coming to you?
Yeah, they were here in 2018, and then they between COVID and a few compliance issues they had, things got delayed. But anyhow, they're back again next year.
Okay, and that'll be another big event.
Yeah, it'll be another big one. Yeah.
And so, is Electric Picnic growing now, or is it at capacity?
Look, that's pretty much out of my control. You've got Melvin.
You just provide the field.
You provide the field. I mean, Melvin Ben is there, and you know, he's very much in charge and decides, you know, whether we're going up or not.
Well, I have Tadhg with me as well, Tadhg Dalton. You're very welcome, Tadhg.
Thanks, Claire.
Good to have you with us. You're going to be part of the Leinster Fla.
I am, yeah. So the Leinster Fla starts on Friday and it finishes on Sunday.
Okay, so that's a huge event in your calendar, is it?
Oh, yes, definitely. The Fla is always a big event. So you start off at your county, we're Laois, obviously, and then it goes on to your province.
These are the competitions, aren't they?
These are the competitions. So, but it's a festival as well. So, like, obviously, the Laois was there, I think, 8 weeks ago. Now, Leinster is this weekend, and it is a festival. It's event, like, there's loads of events going on. There's sessions, there's performances. I know on Friday, Fergal Scahill and Ryan Malloy are playing, two amazing musicians. And then on Sunday and over the weekend, I suppose, there is competitions as well. And that's probably the main part of the Fla. And there's four different categories. So there's under 12, 12-15, 15-18, and then there's over 18. So
you've had great success there in the past, haven't you?
I have, yes. So I'm lucky now. I have four All-Ireland titles.
Give him a round of applause. in what instrument, Tadhg?
So baron and drums are my two main ones. They're the ones I have titles on. But I suppose from a young age, I picked up loads of different instruments. I have a great love for music. And
it was obviously played in the house as well, was it?
It actually wasn't, no.
What?
My father now claims he plays the guitar, but I say different, but...
Is he there?
In the crowd, yeah, he's sitting there.
He's holding an instrument.
He's holding
there,
a guitar.
Whether you can play it or
I wouldn't
not.
Trust him to play it now, but he claims he played it. But dancing probably would have been more in my family, my parents and my uncles.
Irish dancing, was it?
Set dancing, but myself at three, I started Irish dancing with my older sister and my younger brother. And I suppose that's where I got the love for music, and that's where it all started. And I gained that respect for the music. And then when I was four, when I started to actually play the tin whistle, that's when I suppose all the tunes came back to me. And you were used to hearing all the music from the Irish anthem. So then it was just a matter of transferring that to the music.
And who was teaching you how to play then at that stage? Because it wasn't your dad.
No, definitely not. So I started off on the whistle in Kyoltis. I don't know his name now. I was so young, like I was 4 years
old. But you were in Kyoltis.
I was in Kyoltis in Port Laois, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Kyoltis is a big thing. Like it's great for young musicians to start playing. And I suppose then at five, I went to a famous baron player from Laois here, Colin Phelan, and Áine McGeaney. She's a fiddle player. They're married. And that's where I suppose the trad really took off. They're in a great band. They've travelled the world. Gwitcha, not sure if you've heard them, but they're amazing. And that's where the love kind of started for music. And it's literally just flew off since then.
Grown from there.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, you have offered to teach two members of our audience how to play the baron.
Yeah.
Your dad isn't one of them, is he?
No,
he's
not.
The last
God,
one.
No.
No, we're not going to try that. So we have Elaine. Where's Elaine? Elaine, you're a volunteer for us today. And we have Joe as well. Where's Joe? Joe, you are very brave too. Joe won playing whist. Is that your mother who won playing whist?
Yeah.
Last week in her 90s. She plays twice a week. Well done to her. And Elaine, I know you wanted to take baron lessons your whole life, didn't you? Is it possible, Tadhg, to teach people how to play baron in this space of time now that we have?
Oh, definitely. Like, I suppose... Yeah, of course it is.
So what we're going to do is you're going to take them away, Elaine and Joe. You're going to teach them a couple of tricks on the baron. And then you're going to come back to us later on towards the end of the show and play for us. Elaine, don't look so scared. You'll have Tadhg with you. And if it all goes wrong, Tadhg, So you're going to play some music for us, are you?
We are, yeah.
Okay, who are you playing with today?
So Adele Conway here in the concertina. And then my brother, Fionnán Dalton, on the banjo.
Okay, well, do you want to jump back there
into
your seat? I can't wait to hear this. And we have the Leinster Fla happening over the course of the weekend in Laois. And we're hearing now from Tadhg Dalton and Fionnán and Adele now, who are going to play for us. Enjoy this one.